Moncrief on News Talk.
Here's a fun fact. Rhubarb isn't a fruit, but a vegetable. Rhubarb season began last month, which means that in many Irish households, you won't be able to visit without a slice of tart being waved in your face. For some, that's terrific news. Though there is a cohort in this country that absolutely can't stand it. Mark Moriarty is a chef and an Irish Times columnist. Afternoon, Mark. Afternoon, Mark.
How are you, Sean?
Not too bad. Now, I suppose a lot of people would think rhubarb automatically sets off kind of childhood memories. Does it do that for you as well?
Yeah, I think there's a general realisation in Ireland of that stewed down, brown, overly sweet mush that goes under a crumble, which I'm absolutely fine with. I think it's delicious with a bit of an ice cream or custard. But there's way more you can do with it, and you're starting to see it pop in restaurants across country at the moment.
Right, and so why is rhubarb so widespread in this country, and why has it always been?
Well, it is a vegetable, not a fruit, but I actually, when I was doing my research on it, I thought it was a weed, because you see it in all the hedgerows at this time of year. But it would have been widespread in like the 16th, 17th century, used for medicinal purposes. And then in sort of 19th century, because it was really common all over the place, it would have been used in peasant dishes.
Right. And what way would people have cooked it then?
A lot of the time, those sort of ingredients in Ireland were just boiled, because very little equipment in people's houses. You had basically pots over open fires, and that would have resulted in that real mush that wasn't much use to anyone.
Yeah.
And medicinally, it would have been sort of boiled down in broths into teas for health benefits.
Okay. And why was there a belief that it had health benefits?
I presume it goes back to the sort of old Irish thing of you would have had people who would have sworn by certain anecdotes, oils. I don't know. I presume you would have eaten or made a tea of rhubarb or a broth, and it might have cured an ailment or cured a sickness. And then it sort of spread like folklore that, you know, rhubarb is what you use to cure a cold, generally related to different sort of things that would have happened. So rhubarb is in season now. So you're coming into spring where the kind of winter bugs would have been coming along, and then there would have been a correlation with tasting and drinking rhubarb. I suppose then, I'm sure if you got a scientist onto it, there's different chemicals and whatnot that would have gone on in your body that would have led to it. But then beyond that, into the 19th century, they basically started essentially breeding a culinary rhubarb, which was lower in acid, a little bit higher in sugar, and a lot more pleasant to eat.
Ah, so because as you're right, you would see rhubarb growing anywhere. The wild rhubarb, I assume that's not very pleasant to taste, or would that be more sour?
Very, very sour. And where you would see it is, you probably see the leaves more in hedgerows around the country, which are poisonous to eat. They're full of a thing called oxalic acid, which would give you a stomach upset if you ate too much of it. But the stalks would be what people would actually eat. And the hedgerow rhubarb you'd see around the country now would be that sort of older 17th, 18th century that wasn't the culinary version, which would be incredibly acidic to eat. Related almost to the Japanese knotweed as well, which is an invasive species that is all over the country. And if you actually eat the stalk of Japanese knotweed, it's very, very similar in taste and acidity to rhubarb.
Yeah. And is that, because some people absolutely hate rhubarb. And some people love it or don't mind it. But it's almost like that there are certain vegetables people are kind of mildly allergic to almost.
Yeah, I think it goes back to your childhood. I would have had it in the sort of the granny's house in the crumble. Now she could cook, so it was something I absolutely loved. But if it's done poorly, I mean, it's that kind of brown mush. I think it's more the texture and the look of it. And if you don't add enough sugar, then you're really getting hit with that acid. First restaurant I worked in, we used to do a rhubarb crumble, add a little bit of grated ginger and some orange zest to it, and randomly serve it with rosemary ice cream, which was actually an amazing pairing that you wouldn't really think of using Irish ingredients. And nowadays, like, I use it a lot actually more in savoury cooking. So instead of adding sugar, I'll try and deep that acidity. And it's beautiful with things like raw shellfish on a bit of oyster. I've used it with kind of duck. because essentially fruity acid. And it's a really nice one. People go, do you know what? I never thought of rhubarb that way. And it's really changed my opinion of it when they eat it in a savoury sense.
Yeah. And so you use it raw on scallops. What does raw rhubarb taste like?
It's like really, really acidic. So if you imagine a lemon has that really kind of citric acid hit.
Yeah.
It'd be very, very similar. Now, I temper a little bit with a small bit of warm sugar syrup. So basically what you do is you warm a touch of caster sugar, a little bit of water in a pot. I'd actually add a little bit of blackcurrant, like my wadi, just to give a little bit of a pink colour. And you pour it on top of the rhubarb. Let it just, the residual heat just soften the rhubarb ever so slightly. And you get this really nice fruity burst of acid that are lovely with, as I said, like shellfish, like scallops, oysters, those kind of things. And there's a little bit of bite to it as well. So people go, do you know what? I've never had rhubarb that isn't just pure brown mush under a load of sugar.
Yes, that's indeed like someone's texting to say, who decided it was a good idea to put rhubarb in a tart? Is there a way of putting it in a tart where it doesn't look mushy?
Yeah, so that process I just spoke about there, actually. So if you're buying rhubarb this weekend, say, what I do is I just dice it up into like finger-long little stalks. I'd warm up, say, equal quantities of water to caster sugar. Add a little bit of your black currant, my wadi, or you can add a little bit of beetroot juice or grenadine syrup. Just bring it to the boil until the sugar dissolves. Pour it on top of your rhubarb and then just leave it sit there. Don't cook it. Just let the residual heat just marinate it for about an hour. Take it out, and what you'll have is you'll still have a little bit of texture to the rhubarb. There'll be a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of sourness, but it's not going to be that sloppy, soupy, brown thing that looks like awful things underneath your crumble. And it'll change your opinion of how rhubarb should be eaten.
And when you go shopping for rhubarb, are there different varieties of rhubarb in the shops, or is it just pretty much all the same?
Yeah, there are. There's like, when you think of all the things we eat, so be it rhubarb or tomatoes or strawberries or raspberries, they essentially have been breeding them over the last 50 years to change the chemical composition of the fruit of the vegetable. So you can get a sweeter style of strawberry or a more acidic one. And it's the same with rhubarb. So in the last month, we would have had a lot of forced rhubarb, which is where they grow it under really strong lights in basically dark rooms. And it grows really quickly towards the light, and it has no pigment, no colour, so it's completely white. It's often called champagne rhubarb.
Oh.
And it's way sweeter than the stuff that now grows out in the fields. And this is what we're generally eating is culinary rhubarb. It's actually at its perfect point in the next week or two. It starts to get a bit like thick and woodier then as the season goes on. It'll be gone by sort of early summer. So now is the time to really be getting it. It's in abundance. It's cheap. It's plentiful. It's Irish. And as I said, it's really versatile. Everything from your shellfish to your rhubarb crumble for dessert.
Yeah. Somebody wants to know, where would you get rhubarb seeds? I assume just in your garden centre.
I presume in the garden centre, yeah.
So. Yeah. You also have a recipe, though, on that for rhubarb haters. This is probably the worst thing ever. You have a recipe for rhubarb and almond breakfast muffins.
Yes.
So do they taste very rhubarby?
They do. They're trying to go up with a recipe for, I'm not a breakfast person. I struggle to eat the breakfast in the morning, and the overnight oats don't really do it for me anymore. So it's a sort of a take on banana bread. So there is your kind of overripened banana, your ground almonds, which bring all your nuts and your good fats in there. And then what you do is you bring it together with just some diced rhubarb, which makes it, it gives it that pure acid where it's not a dessert muffin, it's a breakfast muffin. And it kind of gives me that kick in the morning with a nice cup of coffee. And you can use everything from fresh rhubarb just diced up through it to even the frozen stuff works just as well. And if you're not into rhubarb, it's a handy way, I suppose, of getting it into your diet over the next few weeks.
Yeah, indeed. Mark, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Mark Moriarty, the chef, and also, of course, Irish Times columnist. Brita says, kids in the 60s, when we were kids in the 60s, we ate rhubarb raw with it dipped in sugar. She says, David says, Dad was a divil for the rhubarb and custard, and I wouldn't have ate it only for the custard. That's probably true for many things that as kids we were served. Rhubarb, in relation to rhubarb being a vegetable, it's very simple. The fruit is the product of a flower, says the zealous gardener. Rhubarb has three different qualities to the plant. The leaf is poisonous. We eat the stalk, and the roots are used for medicinal purposes. Says Paddy in Termonfeckin. Another texter says, I remember my grandmother saying stewed rhubarb was a great laxative. Never tried it. Well, You know, you might need to try it at some point. None of us, you know, have a perfect digestive system. Sounds like it makes sense. And John in Cork says, the wild rhubarb is not rhubarb. Do not eat it. It is a totally different plant to the culinary rhubarb. Which is a fair point. If you see a bit of rhubarb on the side of the road, probably err on the side of caution. In the rhubarb triangle in the UK, says another texter, where they grow forced rhubarb, as mentioned, it grows so fast that apparently you can hear it grow. Okay, we'll have a look and we'll see, can we find the sound of rhubarb growing? And if we can find it, we'll play it for you before the end of the show today.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.